This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 21st. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, plunging into low-flow toilets. And a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Illini basketball player Jamar Smith faces a warrant for his arrest on felony charges stemming from last week's car crash that injured Smith's teammate Brian Carwell. The 19-year-old Smith is charged with driving under the influence and leaving the scene of an accident. According to a University of Illinois police investigation, Smith was behind the wheel when the car hit a tree on South First Street. Reports say the two had been drinking earlier at Smith's apartment in Savoy. Smith drove the damaged car back to his apartment complex where witnesses called 911. Carwell, who remained unconscious, suffered a severe concussion. But Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz says Smith, who suffered a minor concussion, feared much worse.
It appears that Smith was distraught about the crash and concerned that Carwell had died in the crash. And there is no evidence that Smith had anything to drink of an alcoholic nature after the crash.
But a state police crime lab says Smith's blood alcohol content was at 0.17%, more than twice the legal limit. The DUI charge against Smith carries a possible prison term of 1 to 12 years, while the charge of leaving an accident scene carries a potential 2 to 5-year sentence. Reitz says, however, probation is an option for both offenses. A defense attorney for former Governor George Ryan told a federal appeals court that turmoil broke out in the jury room as deliberations got underway in Ryan's racketeering trial. Attorney Gene Scher says if Ryan's conviction isn't reversed, it will go down as one of the great injustices in the history of the American legal system. Ryan and longtime friend Larry Warner were convicted last April of racketeering, conspiracy, and other offenses. Ryan was sentenced to 6.5 years in federal prison for steering state contracts and leases to his political friends. Assistant U.S. Attorney Patrick Collins yesterday defended U.S. District Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer in Ryan's case, saying she had been scrupulous in fairness. Pallmeyer dismissed two jurors who had omitted information about their arrest records on a pretrial questionnaire and replaced them with alternates. Last week's winter storm is costing the city of Urbana big bucks. The city is shelling out $170,000 for snow removal crews. City Public Works Director Bill Gray says that's how much it cost to keep the streets clear of 17.5 inches of snow that fell on the central Illinois city last week. About 15.5 inches fell last Tuesday and Wednesday, and then another 4 inches fell overnight Friday. With two votes last night, the Champaign City Council set the stage for construction of a new 10-story building downtown. The M2 building will bring a mix of shops, offices, and apartments to the west side of Neal Street with financial aid from the city. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
A Walgreens, a hotel, a Knights of Pythias Lodge. Champaign City Council members remember those downtown buildings that once stood where developers plan to erect the 9-story M2 project. Most of the site has been a parking lot for nearly 50 years. And council members such as Tom Bruno say it's time for the site to host a building once again.
Those were not meant to be parking lots. And we should be delighted that we are finally getting buildings back in downtown where parking lots have temporarily held the place for the past 40 or 50 years.
Bruno and other council members defended their decision to give M2 developers $3.7 million in financial incentives and build an $11 million parking deck to meet the increased parking demand. Critics have questioned spending that much to entice private developers, but the council members say the expense will be paid by new tax revenue brought in by the M2 building. Revenue, they say, wouldn't exist if the city didn't provide some help to begin with. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Illinois' business lobby is gearing up for a fight this spring. The governor may target businesses as a way to pay for universal health care. Sean Crawford reports.
The Blagojevich administration remains mum about its plans, except to say large corporations are getting away with paying little or no income taxes, while others pick up the slack. The governor is expected to lay out a proposal during his budget address next month. Reports indicate Blagojevich is considering a revamp of how Illinois taxes business, one that could impact big operations as well as doctors, lawyers, and other professionals. However it's implemented, higher business taxes are unwelcome news for groups like the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Greg Bays is the president.
Manufacturing, unfortunately, in Illinois during the last 20 years have voted with their feet many times, moving their facilities out of this state. So if government makes it more expensive here in Illinois, then that possibility that they might have to make that decision down the road is one that certainly would have to be considered.
Blagojevich was able to get a host of business taxes and fees increased early in his first term, but the legislature has rejected subsequent efforts. I'm Sean Crawford.
Indiana's House voted 55-41 yesterday for legislation that would require almost everyone to wear seatbelts in both the front and back seats of most vehicles, including pickup trucks. Currently, only front seat passengers and children under the age of 16 are required to wear seatbelts, and very young children must be in child restraint seats. People age 16 or over are not required to wear belts in pickups, but would be under the bill. The bill would also change the state's local road funding distribution formula by phasing trucks into the equation over 3 years. Trucks have not been counted in the formula, which is based on the number of vehicles in a county. The bill now moves to the Senate. The recording industry is filing more complaints with colleges and universities where students illegally download music on campus computer networks. Purdue University is among the latest. Has complained about nearly 15,000 students at 25 universities. That's nearly triple the number for the previous school year. For students who are caught, punishments vary from email warnings to semester-long suspensions from classes. However, Purdue says it rarely notifies students accused by the recording industry because it's too much trouble to track them down. The top five schools are Ohio University, Purdue, the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, the University of Tennessee, and the University of South Carolina. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. Low-flow toilets left some people flush with anger when the products debuted in the 1990s. But the Environmental Protection Agency is pushing ahead with a voluntary program to create toilets that use even less water. Chuck Kornbach reports some toilet manufacturers say they want to join the new water-saving market and hope consumers are ready to buy.
Rob Zimmerman admits there are plenty of jokes about toilets, but the water engineer for the Kohler Corporation takes the bathroom commode very seriously.
I've heard people say that the toilet is kind of the foundation of modern civilization, that modern sanitation allowed for the growth of cities, it allowed for the decline of infectious diseases.
And now Zimmerman has a handle on a new role for toilets, saving water. Studies have shown that toilets can account for up to 30% of a household's water use. Water prices are going up, and in some fast-growing communities, water supplies are growing more scarce. So the EPA created a voluntary program it calls Water Sense. It aims to get toilets to use 20% less water than the newer toilets you've probably seen that were mandated back in the 1990s. This new generation of toilets goes from 1.6 gallons per flush to about 1.3 gallons and still meets performance guidelines for producing a clean bowl. Kohler and other toilet makers are trying various ways to get to 1.3 gallons. After looking at a 1.6 gallon model, Rob Zimmerman lifts the tank lid on a 1.3.
What you see that's different here, so remember the other one had that red flapper? This canister here, that lifts straight up when you flush it, see, like this. And so all the water can move from all the different directions and go down the valve. It's a bigger rush, and so the actual time that this flushes is a little bit shorter than the other one.
Zimmerman says other higher efficiency models use what's called a dual flush system that sends away one amount of water for liquid waste and another for solids, with an average of 1.3 gallons. Another type is the so-called pressure assist, a louder system that compresses air to force the smaller volume of water out quickly. Under its new Water Sense certification program, the EPA has put out final specifications for the 1.3 models. Kohler is getting ready to submit 6 toilet models for certification, which the EPA compares to its Energy Star program for things like computers. EPA Water Administrator Benjamin Grumbles says the public can be confident about a third-party certification system the EPA has created.
The agency, working with the scientific community and with independent testing organizations, want to make sure that consumers, when they see that WaterSense label, will be able to have confidence that the product will perform well and that it will lead to increased savings, not just in terms of water, but also reduce the water bill and reduce the energy bill as well.
But it may take a while to build that confidence. At a home remodeling show, Bathroom Fixtures store owner Rich Libby said he's seen low-flow toilets elsewhere that have not worked properly.
Some of the Caribbean islands that are desert islands flush on a European quart of water, but they don't clean the bowl. So later on in the evening, for example, at a bar or a resort, the toilets get kind of gamey.
But Libby says he's willing to give companies like Kohler the benefit of the doubt of reliably getting to 1.3 gallons per flush. Like most high-efficiency energy-saving systems, the upfront costs are a little higher. The Kohler Corporation says its new high-efficiency toilets might cost an extra $50 to buy, but estimates the financial payback of using less water could come in just a couple years. For the Environment Report, I'm Chuck Quernbach.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, areas of fog dissipating late this morning, otherwise mostly sunny, the high 45 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, breezy, the low 28, winds shifting from the southwest to northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Sunday and windy tomorrow, the high 45 degrees. We'll have winds from the northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 21st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.